is, and we're going to pray as soon as you make your way that way. So, and we're going to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to pray. All right, Father God, we're just so grateful for the fellowship of this local body called Cottonwood and her friends. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that as we open this word today and speak this first sermon of this first message of the new year and the new decade, Lord, I want to ask that it would have a great impact in our lives. Lord, I want to pray that, Lord, that the things that come out of my mouth would glorify you and that they would just line up with the word and it would line up with what the Spirit of God is saying to us. God, I just ask in Jesus' name that you'd guard me in this moment, that you'd guard what I say, how I say it. God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would take this word and you would transform us with it, and that you'd give us great confidence in it. That, Father, this word comes, and yes, it gives confidence and it gives promises, but sometimes it brings a rebuke. Sometimes it brings an exposure to us, Lord. And I want to thank you for the great work of your word, Lord, and how you speak it into our lives. And I want to pray that today, that God, that we'd receive the word and plant it, that gives life to us, that God, that illumines us, that points to Jesus, that Father, that gets into our soul and changes the soul and changes the heart and changes the mind and changes our strength so that we could love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I thank you that the word never returns void, but accomplishes what you desired for it to do. And I ask in Jesus' name that you'd come and you'd speak to us like never before. I pray for a spirit of attentiveness today, Lord, a spirit of expectation, anticipation, Lord, of what you have for us in this moment through this word. God, please, please, would you let it wash? Would you wash us with it today? Would you sanctify with us? Lord, would you bring understanding like never before to us? That God, you'd whet our appetite to leave this place and to be in the Word all week because you speak. Come, Lord, speak to us. We're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm titling this sermon, or I could have titled it, Asking Big in 2020. And I thought, you know why I think that's a great thought? It's because what God gives is always big. His gifts are always big. The things that He does is always big. It's never small. It's always big, and it may seem small to our mind, and it may seem small to the world, but when God, I tell you, when God speaks to your heart, it's big, amen? And what He gives in His Word is big, it's huge, it's great. So I'm saying in 2020, let's ask big. Let's ask big. You've heard me say, hey, if you're going to clap, clap, right? Right? It's like me, when I'm on the road, and there's a trucker that comes by to pass, and he's passing in the lane, I'm saying, come on, let's pass. Pass big, okay? If you're going to pass, pass, right? Have you ever felt that way? And they're just going 2 miles an hour above the, and it takes 10 minutes to pass what they're passing. Hey, if you're going to pass, just pass, okay? If you're going to clap, just clap. If you're going to do it, just do it. If you're going to believe, just believe. If you're going to obey, just obey. Do it all the way, not just half-heartedly. And I'm saying if you're going to ask, let's just ask big, amen? I'm just saying let's just ask big. Let's believe the promises of God that apart from God can be absolutely, totally impossible, but we'll take it that God has promised it and God comes to do the impossible, which is big. Amen? And so I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7 because the Bible is laced, it's laced with words that speak of asking this great God. To ask and give our petitions and our requests to Him. I think about James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You ask and do not receive because you've asked with wrong motives, or you've asked wickedly so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, I'm going to say something about that right now because I think sometimes we're kind of scared to ask. We're kind of scared to ask on behalf of ourselves or those that are close to us. But I'm just going to tell you this. What's wrong with just telling God what you want? I mean, we do that to our spouses, right? We want this. We do this with our children. We want this. You sometimes do that to me. We want this. But what's wrong with just saying, God, this is what I'd really love for you to do? You know, I think that when I have people like you in my life, and I believe I can say this to you without any danger that you guys are just looking for something so that your flesh can prosper. I hope that's not what you do in your prayer life. But I want to tell you, on the other hand, is that God wants to do mighty things. And you have not because you ask not. I can't tell you how many times somebody's come to the office or somebody's come over an appointment or they're just struggling with things. And I've said, well, what are you asking? What are you asking God to do? And then sometimes, yeah, some of it's been some of you. I won't name you right now. Amen. But it's just, you look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. What are you talking about? Hey, what are you asking God to do? What have you asked God? What is your petition? What is your prayer life really like? And I think when you look at this passage of Scripture and then you see why we ask and we keep on asking and we seek and we keep on seeking and we knock and we keep on knocking, because that's what this verse is saying. He is saying, hey, ask and keep at it. Seek and keep at it. Knock and keep at it. No, notice what he says, chapter 7. I'm sorry, we're Luke. I want to do Luke's account. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Is that where we're at? I changed the passage late last night, and so I'm sorry for that. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I'm not sorry that I changed it. I'm just sorry that I'm confused about it right now. Okay, so notice what it says. And let's just look at the context of it. We won't look much at 5 through 8, but 5 says, then he said to them, suppose one of you have a friend. And goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, don't bother me, the door's shut. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up to give him anything because he's a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him, watch this, as much as he needs. Very, 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 very cool thing that God would do for you and me. It's a very, very great thing that God would do for us that would say in this next passage or this next word. So just like this friend who gets up and he's knocking on the door for the 3 loaves and the guy's saying, don't bother me. The door's been shut. My children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. But because of his persistence, he's going to get up and he's going to give him as much as he needs. And so I'm saying to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Now notice what he's saying here, and I want you to see this as it says in Matthew, and here it's like he says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, because you'll find it, it'll be given to you, you'll find it, and it'll be open to you, because everyone who's asking is receiving, and he who is seeking is finding, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, I want to say something about this right now. The Bible says, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, but he who sows abundantly reaps abundantly. I think this is the same kind of thought, that the people who ask, the people that seek, and the people who knock, and I'm talking kingdom here. I'm not talking worldly. I'm talking kingdom wise. These are the people that know who their God is, that he's their heavenly Father, as we're going to see in just a moment, and he gives good gifts to his children. And we know who we are. We're sons and daughters of the living God, and he's our Father, and we're in relationship with him. And since we're children and we're sons and daughters and we can't do really anything without him, without the Spirit of God, and the things that we do have come from his hand anyway in the first place, God is inviting you to ask. He's inviting you to seek and he's inviting you to knock. This is an invitation to experience the kingdom of God in its fullness right now, right here on this earth. Ask, and ask big. And I just want to tell you, I would say this because this
command is an encouraging command, and it has a certain result, and it's because of this spectacular reason, okay? It's an encouraging command. Ask, keep on asking, seek, and you'll find, and keep on knocking, it'll be open to you, and because the result, everyone who's asking is receiving, and everyone who's seeking is finding, and him who's knocking, it is being opened for. And here's this wonderful, wonderful thought. He says, listen, in verse 11, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. And that's a good thing to ask for. The father doesn't turn around and give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asking for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then being evil, if you have an evil nature and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You think, well, I got the Holy Spirit when I believe. Why'd I got to ask again? Because I want to tell you this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has so many facets to how he works and how he meets needs personally in your life and mine. And quite frankly, we ought to be asking for the Spirit and the Spirit of God all day long. All day long. Because the Spirit's work is spectacular. It's big. It's huge. It's wonderful. I mean, it's how God works. God on his throne, Jesus interceding, and the Spirit of God living smack dab in the middle of your heart, where he would say, you are the temple of the Spirit of God. You're the temple of God. And this is the work of the Spirit. He comes into our lives, and he manifests the Godhead in our lives. And so I'm not saying that, oh, I got to get the Spirit every day. I've got the Spirit every day. I'm just asking for his work, and I'm asking for his movement in my life. Let me tell you, did you ask for the Spirit of God in your difficulty? Did you ask for the Spirit of God in your abundance? Did you ask for the Spirit of God in your lack? Did you ask for the Spirit of God in your trial and in your tribulation and in your loss? And I'm saying this because when you ask for the Spirit of God, you're asking big. And he's a big God who wants to give you his Spirit. We are a people of God. And that Spirit of God is manifested in us and through us. And if I'm not asking, that means that I'm not being attentive. I'm not being aware. I'm not being aware of the presence of God. And I'm saying, ask big. Listen, asking for a Cadillac is not big. Asking for property or houses or great retirement, that's not big. That's small. That's really small. Because we have a God that knows what we need and provides what we need. And if he wants to give you some property, he's going to give you some property. If you work hard and you're doing the things you're doing in this life, you'll have this opportunity to have those kinds of things. But I want to tell you, those things will burn. Those things get old. That new Cadillac, unless you take care of it, will be a bucket of rust and bolts one day. I think it takes about 3 months before the newness of a car goes away. Is that right? Some of you, it takes a whole lot quicker, you know. But sometimes it just goes away. I'm one of those. And I think when I look at this, I look at the Beatitudes, and I look at the Sermon on the Mount, where this is coming from, God's already laid a foundation of our relationship with God and who the blessed are. And it's all spiritual. And yes, it spills over in the physical and it spills over in the mind, but it's a spiritual thing that God wants to do in your life, in my life. And I think about this because I think the Spirit of God in my mind, is God coming. God came in the flesh, Jesus. God comes and sends his Spirit to dwell within you. And yeah, it's the Spirit of Jesus. And yeah, it's Jesus. It's part of the Trinity. But I'm just telling you, this is the personal work of God. And I look at all the things that we have the opportunity to have when we ask for the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to stop here for just a moment, and I want you to think. I want you to think, what is the one thing that's on your mind right now that you're concerned about? What's the one thing? Richard, I have got three. Name them. Name them in your heart. This is what I'm concerned about. This is what I got going on. This is what I'm troubled about. This is what I'm hoping God to do. You got it? What I'm asking you to do right now, is to bow your head. We're not closing yet. I know it's kind of close, but we're not closing. Bow your head and just ask God, in your heart, would you send your Spirit and the work of your Spirit into this situation and into this situation and into this situation? Oh God, it's just so impossible without you. I'm asking you to do something impossible here. I'm asking you to send the Spirit of God into this chaos, into this uncertainty, into this season, into this deal that's bringing me worry and anxiety and stress, this physical ailment, this lack of purpose, this lack, this disappointment, this thing going on in our marriage. God, I'm asking you to speak into it, and I'm asking that the Spirit of God, that you'd speak into this and do this work. Would you pray this right now? Father, I pray right now, that as we're asking this, that we'll come in about the next 10 minutes of what we just asked you to do because of the work of the Spirit of the living God. How much does the Father want to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, who gives what is good to those who ask and keep on asking? And God, I'm asking that you'd birth within this faith, Lord, in the things that we ask of the kingdom of God, in the things that are eternal, that are big and that are huge, that meets us right where we are and fulfills the need and gives us the instruction, and it shows us in the way that we are to go. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you, how many of you ask God for the Spirit of God in your heart just now to enter into whatever you're struggling with? Would you raise your hand right now? I just keep it up. God, I just pray in Jesus' name that it would come quicker than later. I pray that they'd see first fruits of it. Even in the next couple of days, the first fruits for the Spirit's work in those areas in the name of Jesus. May this take place in you, folks. May the heart of God be the center of your life and the center of your heart. May you be like David, who's a man after God's own heart, who will do all my will and all that I ask him to do. The heart of God in us. Now, I want you to think. I put this down in your notes. When I ask for the Holy Spirit, I'm asking for the Helper. He's the Helper. I love that. I love that. Johnny and I were talking about this the other day about our marriages, and she loves the word helper. She loves that word. Do you know when you look up the word helper in the Old Testament, it talks about a wife being the help, and then you know how else it's used the rest of the time? It's how God helps, how God comes to our aid. How come God comes and gets us to the places we need? And I can't tell you how many times John has helped me to the places that I needed to be as a man and as a husband and as a dad. And he's the helper. The Spirit of God is the helper. That's what he says. He's the comforter. He's the paraclete. He's the one that's called alongside to help. I hope you love that. I hope that you'll grab onto that. Because this God is a helper, the Holy Spirit. The helper will come. He says that in John 16:7, I will pray and the helper will come. And then when you look at all the things that the Spirit of God does, it just blows us away. It blows us away, and I hope it'll blow you away today. And I hope that you'll have this new thought of who God is as the Spirit of God, as the third person of the Trinity. Let me just tell you, and we'll go right through it. The Spirit comes to empower you. And He comes to empower you so that you might give witness. And I love what He says here. He gives witness at home and abroad and every place in between where you might find yourself. God, I'm going to tell you this. This witness is not just for a missionary. Okay? This is not specifically a missionary passage of Scripture. This is a church passage of Scripture. Listen to me. It's a church. The Holy Spirit says, will come upon you and you shall give witness of me right where you are. And you never have to get on a plane to be a witness for God. You may walk across a pasture. You might walk across a hallway. You might go to another cubicle in the office. You might walk across the hallway on a teacher's break and walk into another teacher's classroom while the kids are out. And all of a sudden, you're giving witness to that man or to that woman. You're giving witness by just showing up in people's lives. And the Spirit of God will empower you to give witness to this great and awesome God so that you walk away and you're changed and somehow the person that you've ministered to is changed. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses wherever you might find yourself on this globe, wherever you are. The Spirit comes to pray for you. Romans 8:18 talks about the Spirit of God interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, you've got the helper, you've got the one who empowers you, and you've got the intercession of God Himself. And you know, I just don't know why we don't understand this or that we don't apply this while we're going through what we're going through. To say, God, I'm going through this time and I'm calling on upon your Spirit. And God comes along and says, I'm going to empower you to be my witness through this time. Amen? Amen. I'm going to empower you. And I'm praying for you, by the way, so that the will of God might be done in this season of loss, in this season of uncertainty. I'm praying for you that the will of God will be done. I'm interceding for you according to the will of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God hears the Spirit's prayers? Yeah. I'm so confident in this. That even when I'm somewhere else, where my mind is wandering, where my heart is wandering, I still got the Spirit of the living God interceding for me with groanings too deep for words. And I just need to acknowledge it. I need to be aware of it. God, I thank you in this time, in this struggle, in this victory right now, you are praying for me. I'm asking for the Spirit. When I ask for the Spirit, I'm asking Him to empower me. I'm asking Him to pray for me, that He's already doing that and He's already available. I'm just going to walk in agreement with it. The Spirit comes to teach you to abide in Jesus. 1 John chapter 2. He says, listen, you've got an anointing and the anointing teaches you about all things. It's not a lie. And then He says this anointing will teach you to abide in Jesus. Can I tell you this? Abiding in Jesus is big. Abiding in Jesus in the moment is big. Ask big. Ask big. In 2020, the rest of your life. And we're asking the Heavenly Father for what's good. And what He says in one place in Matthew, it's what's good. And then in Luke, Luke says, who will ask of the Holy Spirit of God? The Spirit of God comes to lead you in every area. Isaiah 30:21 says, "And your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it whenever you turn to the right or left." Ezekiel 36:27 says, "I'll put my spirit within you and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, to be careful to observe my ordinances." In other words, I'm going to put my spirit within you so you'll walk the Jesus way. Not man's way. The Spirit of God is living in you. Ask Him to reveal it. Ask Him to come. Ask Him to invade that space, that struggle, that thought, that those things going on in your life. Listen, default to this. Make a decision right now that as a man or a woman, or as a husband and wife, or mom and dad, or children in this place, that we're going to ask God about it. And we're going to ask the Spirit to come and to do the influence of God in this. Have you asked God about the things? Have you asked God? Have you asked the Spirit to come? Have you done that? You know, I just confess. I mean, listen, you pay me to tell you this. Is that right? You're paying me to tell you this. To share the word from the pulpit. To shepherd you. And yet, I myself can go from this place, having preached when I'm preaching right now, and take 30 minutes, 40 minutes, a day, 2 days, before I call upon the Spirit of God. And I get paid for it. And that ought not be. We got a God who has all the answers. He's got all the power. He's got all the voice. He's got everything to just share with you and talk with you and bless you through that word. Everything. That's why I pray earlier today that the word would whet the appetite and you'd realize that this is what I'm hungry for. I'm hungry and I'm thirsting for God. For God. For His presence and His life. And yes, for His work. But this is what I hunger for. I want to know the ways of God. I want to know the ways of the Spirit. I want to know the ways of the bridegroom, Jesus. I want to know the ways of Jesus. I want to know the ways of God. And I don't know the ways of God unless I get under that word and have it open before me. That's why your children memorize it on the square, so they can hide the word of God in their heart. So they're moving into situations, the word pops up. That verse in John, that verse in Romans, that obscure verse in Revelation. This is the God who speaks. And He wants to speak into your world, into your life, into your situation, until you're hurt. And I'm asking you, I'm just asking you, would you cry out for God to send His Spirit in a new, fresh way in your life? And I'm going to say this. I think this is really important to say this. Listen, this is not just done at my devotion and my quiet time. It's done in the community of the church. It's done getting together with groups. It's done just like Janine said, for these 24 years, 23 years that they were in home fellowship and they were in Sunday school and they were on mission trips and they were with the people of God. And they became more like Christ because the word, yes, but also because they were connected to the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you this. You are connected to the body of Christ whether you get involved or not, because God says it. And I want to encourage you. I want to spur you on to this love and good deeds. That it starts with God. It starts with your family. But I'm just going to say, just like we said yesterday at the funeral, that our second value is loving God, loving neighbor, and loving one another as Christ loves us. That's the new commandment. In the new commandment, it demands it. And I'm not talking about like a, I demand it. It's just it demands me to do that because I want to do it. I want to connect. Spirit comes to lead you in every single area of life. And when he says, this is the way, walk in it. And I'm talking about application here. I'm talking about as I read doctrine, as I read the word, and God comes and he applies it in my life. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm talking to my wife and I'm talking to my kids about the job change. And I'm in the word and all of a sudden God comes and he says, this is what I want you to do. Has that ever happened to you? And you started doing it. It was difficult. It was hard. And you began to doubt, well, did God really tell me to do that? I don't know. All I can do is I admire you because you're seeking the face of God and what God wants for you in this life. Listen, the Spirit of God, when I ask, he's the God who leads us. Listen, he's the God who makes us holy. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation, watch, through holiness or sanctification by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and faith, believing in the truth, God's word. The Bible says that the Spirit gives life, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells in you. And the Spirit will empower you with a life message. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news. I've got two more points. I was telling elders today, I wish we could spend 3 hours together and tell you all the things that I'm learning right now. And all the things that God's sending my way. I am full. And you're probably full too. So I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? We're going to continue this thought over the next couple of weeks. We're going to learn how to ask for wisdom. We're going to ask, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I'll show you great and mighty things. I'm going to show you what the great and mighty things are of Jeremiah chapter 33. They're awesome. They're powerful. They're great. And it'll all appeal to your spirit. It'll all appeal to your soul. It'll appeal to you. Ask big. Now here's your homework. Okay. Hey, everybody look at me. Okay, no, I'm kidding. That was just kind of cool. I want you over the next day to write down three things that you're asking God to do. See, I'm already doing that. Well, I want you to do it again. Even if it's the same thing. I'm asking God to do three things every day of my life. I'm asking God to empower me to give witness and to do what God's called me to do. I'm asking God for his presence every single day. And the third thing I'm asking God, hey, God, just surprise me. Just surprise me. Do you know that everything in our lives that have come that are just the best things in life, you didn't ask for? They just came. Amen? I love that about our God. But God says to ask. And so I'm asking you that. It may be just, God, these five things I'm asking you right now. But there might be something going on in your life that needs changing. There might be a stronghold in your life that you're saying, God, would you come and take this chain away? You might be having a difficulty in your marriage, and it's the fifth time in 10 years that you're having a difficulty. And you're asking God, God, would you come and do such a work that this thing that keeps happening in our marriage will never, ever happen again? Do you believe God can do that? I sure do. I sure do. And I'm just asking you to ask big and to ask boldly. Because I can't think of anything else greater than asking for the Spirit of the living God. How audacious. Audacious? Why do I always pick words that I don't know the meaning of? Because you're making it up as you go. That's why. But how awesome it is that this great God would come to you and me so we could participate and he could be our helper. Can you imagine that? He could be our helper to love us to the places He wants us to be. And I hope that that's our church, that we're loving one another to the places God wants us to be in every area of our lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that You'd bless us with Your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, empower us. Lord, come with Your presence and just come surprise us. Surprise us Wednesday night when we get together for a worship hour. Surprise us on the square. Lord, surprise us, Lord. Surprise us in our lives. Lord, in our marriage, come, surprise us. We ask for the Spirit of God today. That's what we ask. We, sons and daughters of the living Heavenly Father, who knows how to give good gifts to His children, who gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask, period. So, Lord, we ask for the Spirit of God in all these things that we just brought before You, in our mind and our heart. And, Lord, these three things that seem so impossible, oh, God, may we see 2020 meet those things. That the Holy Spirit would meet those things. And do an enormous, enormous work. Church, keep on asking. And you'll receive. Keep on seeking. And you'll find it. Keep on knocking. And it will be opened unto you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that Your word would fall upon us. And anything that's dross that was spoken today, anything that was not of You, that God, it would just fade away. And that You'd be honored and You'd be glorified by the spoken word today that we read with our eyes, even on our Bibles, our apps, or on the screen. Come, Lord, fill us with the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, this is what I want to do. I know that the fellowship time was short, so Hambricks, could you come back up? Allison, could you come back up? And Havens, could you come back up? Would y'all do that and let people fellowship with you, okay? Stand with me, would you? We have a worship night. Our activities don't start back until the following Wednesday. We'll have a worship night together. I hope that you'll come, be a part of that. Bring your kids, bring your family. Looking forward to a great time of just worshiping our God together. Okay. The Lord bless you and keep you. Yeah. The Lord lift up His countenance towards you and be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and give you this great peace, that the Prince of Peace would rest in your heart. May the Spirit of the living God fall fresh upon you this week so that this peace might be seen to every single person you come in contact with. May Jesus be seen in you. Lord, I want to thank You for Ruby. Just as a wonderful, wonderful part of our body that brings, Lord, just a spot. But we thank You for her spot in heaven. We thank You, Lord. What is our loss is her immeasurable gain today. I pray for her family and the friends, Lord. We give You glory and honor for her today. Oh, God, may we reflect the same Jesus that Ruby reflected. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, God bless y'all. Thank you.